Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back, folks. Ed Vitagliano is sitting in for Tim Wildman this week, joined by Fred Jackson, Dr. Ray Pritchard. Ray, tell our listeners a little bit about your ministry, your website, and, of course, we all want to hear about the Bible reading plan.
Well, this is June the 1st, and it just worked out in our Bible reading schedule that today we started the Gospel of John, John 1 and 2. And if you have been thinking you'd like to read through the Bible, and maybe here it is, June, it's a good day to get a fresh start, just surf on over to keepbelieving.com. I've been reading through the Bible out loud, taking it, posting it on the internet, posted the reading from John 1 and 2 this morning about 7 a.m. So, folks, nothing will settle your mind and calm your heart and get your perspective with all the craziness in the world. Nothing will help you more than to get back to the Word of God. Sometimes, Ed, we just need to do that. We need to get back to the Bible. So surf on over to keepbelieving.com and join with us. Look, we're 5 months in, and you can go back and catch up. All the videos are posted so far from January the 1st up through today. Pick up that later. Join us now and read with us through the rest of this year as we read through the Bible together in 2023.
Ray, wait a minute. On Tuesday this week, you're in 2 Kings.
That's exactly right.
Are you speed reading?
Listen, we did Job in 90 seconds. We did Ezekiel in a minute and a half. I mean, really, really fast, Fred.
Wow.
So you're reading it in chronological order then?
Well, here's the deal. If you just start on January the 1st in Genesis 1 and read through as it is in the English Bible, you will not get to Matthew until October the 1st or October the 2nd. And I've always thought it's wonderful to get to the gospel stories a little earlier in the year. So we're reading it chronologically in this sense. We're reading from Genesis to Malachi. We're reading from Matthew to Revelation, but we're interspersing Old Testament and New Testament.
Oh, okay.
The light comes on.
There you go. The light comes on.
There you go.
Now,
from 2 Kings yesterday to the Gospel of John today. A little whipsaw.
I tell you what.
That's a good call there, Fred. Let me ask you this, but then we'll move on. Because Steve Jordahl is waiting patiently.
Patiently.
And that doesn't remain very often. So now, after this year is over, people can do this every year, right?
Yes.
Because you're going to have this reading. It will be archived, and people will be able to do this every year, right?
Until God willing, until Jesus comes again.
There you go. Okay.
You know, so I started this as a legacy project for my children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren yet to come.
Excellent.
I wanted them to know that their father, grandfather, great-grandfather believed in the Word of God. It's just grown, and now thousands of people are joining with us every day.
All right, keepbelieving.com is where you need to go for that. All right, Steve Jordahl, we mentioned you. We insulted you a moment ago.
Yeah, you did.
Well, welcome.
Just for that,
back.
I'm not going to talk. You're on your own.
All right, Ray, let's get busy with 2 Kings.
You know, today is June 1, and someone has dubbed June as so-called Pride Month, right?
Right.
It's all over my Twitter feed and everything. So I saw a post that said, Bible reading for Pride Month, Monday, Romans 1, Tuesday, Romans 1, Wednesday, Romans 1.
Romans 1.
Maybe a little Genesis 18 and 19 thrown in there, a little Leviticus 18 maybe. We all kind of live in the shadow of that. It can't be much different than if you're living in the Roman Empire and in the city of Rome, living in the shadow of the Colosseum. You do Christianity in whatever circumstances you find yourself in. And folks, I'm going to say to our listeners, there is a difference between the radicals who are agents of an agenda and the people who are trapped in a lifestyle. And so we want to encourage you to reach out, pray for, and love those who are trapped in homosexuality or gender confusion. So anyway.
I usually do this at the end of the show, but I just happened to see on my Twitter feed, the Babylon Bee went back and did a deep dive on Pride Month. And they found out that the very first Pride Month was ruined by 40 days of rain.
Oh, man. 40 days and 40 nights. Yeah, okay, that'll ruin it. That'll
okay,
ruin
that
it.
Works.
Yep. All right, Steve.
All right.
What kind of stories you got?
I want to take us to Massachusetts, and we've been following the case of a 12-year-old boy. His name is Liam Morrison, and he is suing his school, Nichols Middle School. Alliance Defending Freedom is on the case. He wore a shirt to school that said, "There are two genders." Well, the school didn't like that very much, and they told him to take it off, sent him home. And the next day he wore a different shirt that said similar things that made him take that off. So they're suing the school. So they went in front of a judge yesterday, I believe it was. And what they were seeking was a temporary injunction in order to let little young Liam wear whatever he wants through the rest of the school year. The judge turned him down, but it had nothing to do with the merit of the case. Just wasn't going to put a tell the school an injunction on it. I want to this is an ADF attorney who's representing Liam, and this is her take on why everybody should be concerned about this. It's a seventh grader in Massachusetts. What's it have to do with me? Well, this is might be what it has to do with you. Cut nine.
You should absolutely care about this sort of a situation, because what the school is doing is claiming that they have the authority to take a position on a critical issue of public concern, right? What is it that makes someone a boy or a girl, a man or a woman? What does it mean to be male or female? What does that have to do with sex, right? They've taken a position on this, and they've said, in our public schools, there is only one view that can be expressed. So when Liam was sent home, his dad sent an email to the school to ask sort of, you know, why did you do this? Is this really consistent with policy? Can I not do this? And they emailed back, and they claimed that this was consistent with their policy and that they were allowed to take action against Liam just because of the content of what he said. So this is something that you have to be concerned about as somebody, as, you know, a parent or a member of any community in America.
Well, Fred, you only have to be concerned with it if you're concerned about losing your own personal freedoms or the freedoms of your children. So a tip of the hat to the Alliance Defending Freedom. They're doing the right thing and defending this young man's freedom of speech. Now, we talked about in our story meeting this morning, I remember growing up when I was in junior high school, I would get into arguments with other students in classes. Usually it was, you know, social studies or history or something like that. We'd get in arguments about the Vietnam War, and yeah. and those got very heated. And so you have, and of course, I as I grew older, I learned that the Vietnam War was maybe not as simplistic a thing as I had originally thought. But you have to allow students to have that exchange of ideas. You cannot, on issues like this, you cannot simply disallow a whole category of ideas just because you don't like them.
Well, yes, I believe it's one of the lawyers for Liam said that the school claim that because Liam's message is not inclusive, they can exclude it. Now, this has
bizarre.
Yes. Mm-hmm. This has nothing to do with mathematics or geography or history. What it has to do with, we feel this about homosexuality, and if you disagree with us, you're not allowed to express your feelings in this school.
Right.
Now, this is a public school paid for by taxpayers' dollars. And what this school was saying, if you have a point of view that offends the rest of the students, you're not allowed to express that. And again, it goes back to this idea that we've been sold on, you know, that a public school system, we preach tolerance. No, they don't. What they do say is that we're going to indoctrinate your kids on one point of view. We don't care if your son, your daughter has a biblical point of view on the issues. In fact, we're going to tell him to keep his mouth shut if he has a biblical view on something that we disagree with.
We're going to try to change that point of view is what they're going to do.
Yes. Yeah. Ray, how bizarre is it for a school to say, first of all, to say, our policy is one of inclusion, so we're going to start excluding things and start excluding people. And plus, if the situation were reversed, okay, this is not a situation like Florida with the parental rights law that was passed and signed by Governor DeSantis. That was dealing with what teachers say to little children, kindergarten through third grade. This is saying students can't talk about it. What would Massachusetts parents think if a school said, you know what, we're not going to let homosexual students talk about what they think about this issue. They're only allowed to wear T-shirts that say Romans 1.
You know, the whole thing is so completely hypocritical. Here you have a public school that claims to be in favor of tolerance, claims to be in favor of inclusion, but if anybody dares to express an opinion outside that which is approved by the administration, suddenly their inclusion becomes exclusion and their tolerance becomes intolerance. They say we're against intolerance, therefore we are intolerant of intolerance,
yes.
And they don't even see the internal contradiction of all of it. What utter hypocrisy, and good for the lawyers for standing up for this young man. Good for them. I hope they prevail.
You know, Steve, looking at the story, there's a picture of this Liam Morrison, 12 years old. I'm just going to say, I don't mean this as an insult to him. He's just 12 years old. He doesn't look as big as a minute.
Right.
I mean, this is a kid who's small in stature. Maybe he'll shoot up. I'm just saying, at this point in his life, the courage that it takes someone of this size to stand up in Massachusetts, where you're going to be basically butting heads with the vast majority of people who are going to be disagreeing with you, this kid's got the heart of a lion.
I wish we'd have brought it in, but he made a speech in front of the school board when this whole thing was going down, and it was remarkable. You're right. He does have the heart of a lion.
Yeah.
I think people lose sight of what the First Amendment is and is not. The First Amendment does not guarantee you the right to not be offended.
Right.
In fact, the First Amendment was put in place, the speech clause of the First Amendment was put in place exactly so if you had something offensive to say, you could say it. The government couldn't censor you from saying it.
Right.
We've completely lost, I think, that concept in today's culture.
And our founders came to this country and put that in, that you're talking about that free speech clause in the First Amendment, because countries in Europe would not allow you.
Right.
Wouldn't allow you to criticize the government, wouldn't allow you to speak your mind if you did not have the orthodox, and I mean that small o, view of which the government approved. So good for Alliance Defending Freedom, outstanding for this young man, Liam Morrison, age 12. So folks, pray for this young man. We may have a future political leader who is in the process of developing his views, but he certainly has the heart of a champion. So, and pray for Alliance Defending Freedom. Pray for a good outcome to this case, because this is very important. All right, what else?
I am so enjoying when I get to hear it. I don't often, because the program on AFR starts about the time that I show up at work here, but Jenna Ellis is doing such a good job. She knows everybody. And this morning she had on independent reporter John Solomon. He's one of these reporters that is going to tell the truth no matter where it leads. So anyway, he has been given access to the January 6th tapes. And they're going to start releasing them one subject at a time, a la Twitter files.
Right.
And he's previewing a little bit here his first release. So I wanted to play you a little bit from this morning. The first thing you're going to hear is John Solomon. He's putting to bed, or at least he's saying there's no evidence for a conspiracy theory that has been going around. And then he's going to say something else about what was going on January 6th. Cut 7.
to date, I haven't found something that would say, hey, there's a smoking gun that this was a staged event. I think you're going to see from my earlier reporting, we know that significant intelligence came in to the intelligence division of the Capitol Police, from the FBI, the Homeland Security Department, the U.S. Marshal Service, the Metropolitan Police. It warned starting on December 21st there was going to be a severe attack on the Capitol. People are talking about violence.
And they did nothing about it.
Okay.
Yep. I remember then President Trump, he warned Nancy Pelosi that extra Capitol Police should be put in place, extra security around that time, because that intelligence was out there.
Even wanted the, maybe the National Guard.
Yes, and Nancy Pelosi refused that.
Okay, so help me out here, Steve. So what this John Solomon that's speaking.
Yep.
Now, who is he?
He's an independent reporter. I think he's Just the News, I think, is his website.
All right. So he what he's saying is, as he's reviewing some of these tapes, he does not necessarily find evidence. I'm trying to understand this, that the FBI sparked this with people who were undercover.
Right.
But he is concerned that there was quite a bit of information in advance and nothing was done to dampen it.
And they named groups. They named the Proud Boys, for example, in these warnings that happened before. So, and the response he's also teased, I didn't have the sound of this, but he also teased one of the first tapes he's going to release shows Nancy Pelosi being escorted out of the Capitol. You would expect her. You've seen the videos of, like, when President Reagan was shot. They grab by the collar. They throw him in the back of the beast, and they drive off. That's what they do when a politician's under threat. They're no nice guys. They're not. They don't care about a sprained wrist. They're getting the body out of there so it's not hurt. He says it's remarkable the time they took and what they did when they were evacuating the Capitol, as if they knew that there was really no threat. The other thing that he's going to talk about here, and I have one more cut. This is John Solomon saying there were security lapses. The doors were open wide, and in a lot of cases, people walked right in. And so there were several security lapses that happened on January 6th, and they haven't been addressed. Cut 8.
To a person, when I interview a Capitol Police officer, a Capitol Police leader, someone in the security apparatus of the Capitol, or in the larger federal law enforcement community, I keep hearing the same utterance. We are no safer at the U.S. Capitol today than we were on January 5th, 2021. In other words, the security failures have not been learned. They have not been fixed. And one of America's great institutions of freedom remains vulnerable. And January 6th was really a spontaneous riot. Imagine if terrorists were actually attacking the Capitol. The vulnerabilities you're going to see over the next few weeks are going to make people very, very disturbed.
You know, Ray, I'm generally speaking, I am not a conspiracy person. Okay, I'm a skeptic. Whenever I hear something about, you know, UFOs, Bigfoot, whatever it is, my first reaction is I don't believe it. Prove it. Okay, and so. I generally, when people say, well, what about this? What about this? I go, I listen, there's probably a rational explanation for it. Let's wait and see. But I got to tell you, I am starting to drift towards conspiracy city.
Right.
All right. Because these kinds of things just strike me as so bizarre. First of all, if you are in the intelligence community and you know trouble's coming, why wouldn't you try to head it off? So that makes me think, just trying to be rational, okay, is there a game being played where they think, all right, we're going to let this happen, and then we're going to use the fallout to do X, Y, or Z, okay? And then why wouldn't you correct the openings through which security threats could come if your job is to protect the members of Congress? I got to tell you, I don't like what I'm becoming. I'm becoming more conspiracy oriented.
Look, kid, Bigfoot was behind January the 6th. Everybody knows this.
I knew it.
Wow.
I knew it.
We're breaking the news right here on AFR.
Unification theory of conspiracy.
That's exactly right. Look, it does make you no matter how, quote, rationally minded you may be, the more facts that come out about what happened on January the 6th, it certainly does make you think that at least some people were doing exactly what you said. They saw what was going to happen. They let it happen. They didn't do anything to stop it. Not saying everybody, but some people, no doubt, exactly what you said, wanted that to happen so they could cause the havoc inside the American system, exactly what we see. And 2 years later, we're still not to the end of the resolution of all these legal cases.
Yeah.
I think Americans ought to be worried about the fallout. I keep going back, and every couple of days, I get a story from the Associated Press of the latest person to be charged, found guilty, and then being given prison terms.
Right.
There are some of these people that have been given prison terms of 10 years.
Yes.
A lady the other day, I think she's from Pennsylvania, she said, hollered out, she was at the Capitol on January 6th. She hollered, bring Nancy Pelosi out, we want to hang her. Now, that wasn't going to happen.
Right.
She got 2 years in prison. And leading up to her trial, she was months in a jail before she was put on trial.
Right.
This ought not to be happening in America. And I also compare it to, during the George Floyd protests, the mob protests.
Yeah.
Police stations, federal buildings set on fire, all of these sorts of things. I'm not remembering anybody being sent to prison.
Right.
For years.
That's because those were mostly peaceful, Fred.
Yes, most. Yes. So I think we ought to be very concerned because perhaps, and we're not ready to connect the dots yet, if it was true that some group wanted this violence to occur on January the 6th, so they could then arrest, and they've arrested, over 1,000 people have been charged so far?
Yeah.
Arrest 1,000 people, and what did Joe Biden say just a few weeks ago? The biggest threat to America is what? White supremacy?
Yeah.
As I say, I'm not willing to connect the dots yet, but the picture is becoming clearer. I guess I'm going to your conspiracy.
Right.
The picture is becoming clearer that perhaps all of this wasn't just spontaneous. Perhaps there was some planning that went behind this. This whole charade, the January 6th investigation, what was it called? The insurrection investigation.
January 6th committee.
The January 6th committee, where they didn't allow any opposing views.
Right.
They just, it was amazing.
Wouldn't even allow the Republicans to pick who their representatives would be on the committee.
That's right. They picked two Republicans that hated Donald Trump.
Right.
So, you start to look at all of this and you start to say, well, this can't just be happenstance.
Right.
That there's something else behind all of this. And maybe we'll get to it someday.
All right. Well, now that I've confessed my leanings towards conspiracy, you got anything you can close us with? We got maybe 60 seconds?
The Chick-fil-A debacle continues to evolve. Now we're finding out that Chick-fil-A is training its white employees. Instead of saying my pleasure, they have to say my privilege now when they serve chicken.
And that's from the Babylon
Bee. That is from the Babylon Bee.
Yeah. My privilege. Yep. That has to go with the diversity, equity, and inclusion policies that, by the way, folks, that we reported on this week isn't brand new. That has been going on at Chick-fil-A for a number of years, but it just kind of hit the news this week, and that's why people are talking about it. So anyway, that is all the time we have for today's issues today. Tomorrow is Trivia Friday. We're going to have some fun tomorrow, and there is more great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. Hope you will stay tuned, and Lord willing, we will see you tomorrow for Trivia.